Late night. It is the 5x5 late night show. I'm your host, David, and we are on time once again. I know I say it every day, but you know, well, every time I podcast, but whatever, I'm going to say it until I get tired saying it. But welcome back to each and every one of you. Thank you guys for checking me out wherever, however, whenever you're checking out the show. I do appreciate each and every one of you guys. Oh, it's been an interesting day. It's been an interesting several days. Right now, I have a slight headache, and I'm like, I really don't want this to go into, something into like a migraine, because, you know, what fun is that? But other than that, like I said, I'm doing okay, and I just happened to catch something on the news to where they're going to change some of the food stamp recipient laws. And although I know kids need to eat, people need to eat, and the laws are changing from what I kind of briefly garnered, to where you have to, they're going to make some of you go to work. People who are, they call it able-bodied people who don't have dependents, because there are a lot of people my age walking around getting food stamps, you know. And they're able-bodied, either they don't want to work or whatever, they can't find a job. You know, that's a different story. But some of these people who are able-bodied and just don't want to work and they're living off the government in this respect, yeah, y'all need to go to work. Now, if you have children and things like that and you need to feed your children, hey, I'm all for it. But if you're grown, because I've had a friend or two who has been able-bodied and he was not, I think I've told you guys the story before. He was walking around getting food stamps. Actually, it was somebody that I dated. And we go to Kroger's when I lived in Atlanta. And we go to Kroger's one day. And, you know, because he didn't have the job that I had, which, you know, I had a wonderful job, but I made more money than he did. And so it's okay. I was buying us lunch or dinner, something for dinner to make that night. And he said, oh, I'm going to buy it this time. I'm like, oh, okay, go and knock it out. Go on and knock that out. You know, I'll be behind you. So we get up there. He pulls out an EBT card. I'm like, excuse me. You know, he was more able-bodied than me from a physical standpoint, if you really want to go there. And I'm like, what is that? He's like, oh yeah, you can, if you don't make a certain amount of money, you can go get food stamps. And my whole thing with that was, I get it and I understand, but you buy $100 silly stuff and you have a subscription to a video game. Not that you shouldn't have to live your life, but I just thought it was silly, and it kind of irritated me. And that was kind of downhill from there with us. You know, some people just, I guess, they don't think that way. And it's unfortunately that we have some people that use the system that we have to have these laws in place to say, get your butt to work. If you can work and you don't have any children, you're going to get off the system, because we have other people we need to feed. But enough about that. So I hope you guys are doing well. I see my friend Ken Boggle is back, and I hope you're doing well. We haven't seen Ken in a week or so. You know, last week, for real talk, we didn't see Ken, but Ken has been convalescing. He's got that nasty bug that had been going around. So I'm glad to see you here and back amongst the 5x5 family. And I'm glad you're doing better. Hopefully you're doing better. But speaking of exes, I really wouldn't call this person an ex. I would say we more or less, we went on dates, because, you know, sometimes I'll give somebody a second chance. If we're going out to do something and I think there might be a romantic interest, But you always have sometimes if you're not compatible, you also you, sometimes you have the thing where they're more attracted to you or want to be in a relationship with you more than you want to be in a relationship with them. So that was that type of situation. But I think you're a good person. There's no reason why we can't still be friends. So we've been friends throughout the last what 10, 15 years. And so calls me tonight. I'm going through some issues, but sometimes I preach this to people. Own your bullshit. I tell people that all the time. Sometimes the choices we make, and this goes for myself. I live daily with some choices that I've made. I'm not happy about them, but I don't use them to dictate my life. I'm like, okay, I made that choice. I can't do that again because this is the result of that choice. And so I preach choices. I preach choices to people, and people don't listen to me, and then they have the audacity to get upset about a result that's not desirable. And so he calls up and he's like, well, because he had told me about a month ago, I finally got a job. Now we're both in our 40s. You talking about you finally got a job? Why aren't you working? He used to. I don't know what the problem is. And so tonight he's like, oh, I finally got a job. I am. No, this is. He told me a month or a few months ago that he had started working, which is fine. And the place hasn't. They were building it, so he was, started before. How you get a store together before it's ready to open, and it's not open yet. And so he says, but he tells me tonight, well, David, I quit my job. I'm like, oh, why? Did something happen? If your transportation, the struggle is real. I know that's right, Ken Bogle. I'm like, if it's with a transportation, an issue or, inquiring minds wanted to know. And so he's like, well, they had hired me to be a custodian. And they told me, he said they asked him to do. If a customer would ask, he actually asked them if a customer asked him a question, would he have to answer it? If you're there in the store and you're working and somebody asks you a question, hey, where's the milk or where's the tennis balls? What? Oh, I think that's over there. Yeah, it's not your job, but you're in the store. That's being courteous and that's being part of that kind of retail team environment, right? And so he said, and I, you know, they misled me. I was going to just do janitorial work, and I told him I didn't want the job since they wouldn't go. I'm like, you know what? We are too old to be quitting jobs. There are too many people out there that need a job. So his response to me was, well, I don't think too many people want to clean toilets and sweep the floors. I'm like, no, there are people who want to clean toilets, and they might not want to clean toilets and sweep floors, but they want to eat. They want to have heat in their house. They want to have gas in their car, and they want to be able to do things. I said, so you up and quit the job because you don't want to say you on the rare chances you might have to say to point a customer in the right direction, you quit. I'm like, that doesn't make sense to me. Oh, I knew you was gonna say that. You're never on my. I'm like, boy, bring that on down because ain't nobody trying to hear all that. Because, you made this choice, so you really need to.
It's your life.
Right? Because we're too old. And I can't. And I try. And then I try to do it a different way. I'm like, I said, well, if you have a job, I said, if you didn't like it, why didn't you just wait till you found you something else? I said, we're going into the big retail season. Christmas is right around the corner. I said, people are going to start hiring, Christmas help, and that'll get you through the beginning of the year. Then you'll get some taxes back, and then you can, quit when you get the new job, and then that'll get you through the end of the year. Possibly at sometimes through the beginning of the year, then it's tax time, so then you can find something you want to do. I don't know why they told me I had to wait on people. I'm like, that didn't happen, and you're lazy, and I don't understand. And I couldn't get through to him why he couldn't understand why I couldn't understand. Right, Ken Boggle says when the janitor thinks he's too good, that's a problem. And it's just like, why would you rather sit at home and not have anything, and worried about if this bill's going to get paid or if my light's going to get turned off. This, why when you had a job, you had income coming in. That doesn't make sense. And not that. Oh, that's my phone. I'm sorry. And not that, he was, he has a very lavish lifestyle because he doesn't. It's just the fact, sometimes you just want to be able to survive, and he couldn't understand why I couldn't see it his way because it's dumb. This is dumb. And I tried to him. I said, he said, well, I'm not like you. I don't, I'm like, you don't have to be like me. He said, talking to people, I never really liked talking to people. Boy. Talking is easy, and maybe that's why I do this podcast because I like to talk. I've been in retail sales, I've been in sales management, I've been in commission sales, I've done the whole sales thing, and what I learned is talk. You have to be able to talk, and you have to be able to. It's not really about. I told him. I gave him a little example. I'm not gonna go through it here. I said, getting a sale is the bonus. Making a relationship is what you're doing, and the sale comes after the relationship is made. And well, I just didn't want to talk to him, but to people, and I just think that they misled me. I'm like, okay, well, I gotta go do my podcast, so I'm about to let you go. because I didn't want to hear that anymore because it was stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. So I had that going on today, and then also I was kind of you're looking around online, you do a little some just random searches or whatever, and you remember Antoine Dodson from what's that? Remember the Bed Intruder song? Remember back down in Alabama, somebody had broke into the house supposedly trying to rape his sister, and he gave some really good ghetto hood answer to the news people. And then those brothers that make those parody songs, they took the audio and made a song called The Bedroom Intruder or Bed Intruder. And it was like, had your wife, had your kids, and had your husbands, because everybody's getting raped up. Remember that song? Well, he was very gay, very, very, very gay. And that's no shade, he was gay, but now he did y'all know he's an ex-gay now? Because I was reading this article on, I think it was Queerty, I think it might have been, and it's talking about there's giving all the list of the ex-gays, and he's one of them. He's some kind of Hebrew Israel something silly nonsense, and he's bouncing and twisting and twerking and mess. I'm like, well, if you like it, I love it. So people are crazy. It's where we live in a very, very crazy, crazy, crazy world. But anyhow, I thank you guys. I thank you guys for being here. Like I said, I hope you guys are having a great beginning of your week. But I'm off. Nah, 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 nah. Although I did volunteer. No, I didn't volunteer. I was asked, could I work on Thursday? And I said I did. So tomorrow, we had like a training thing going on this week at work. And so tomorrow, I have to do that, which just makes my day a little bit longer. And, take my mom to her appointment. And then Thursday, I'm working. I'm like, okay, I might have bit off too much than I could chew. Is that right? Timmy Sims always tells me that I always mess up all these sayings, which I know I do. I feel like Buffy the Vampire Slayer because she was always asking. Like there was one particular one when how you use the phrase hand over fist, and she was like, "What does that mean anyway? Hand over fist?" And so I feel like Buffy sometimes when I say these phrases, and Timmy says I always mess them up. I don't try to; it just happens. It just happens, and I don't try to, and then to my friends when they're asking me questions, I don't try to be a bitch. I'm just trying to be, just trying to be honest and trying to help you out. A lot of times I'll give advice, but I don't take my own advice. But when it's very, very practical and logical, I do. But anyhow, I thank you guys for listening to me. Like I said, whenever, wherever, however you listen to the show, and new people from Facebook, thank you guys for joining the 5x5 family. I did some things this weekend. If you guys haven't listened to Fanboy Weekly, I went to Shocktoberconvention here in Evansville, Indiana, and had a good time. So we'll talk a little bit about that. Not a lot. I'm gonna share with you guys My favorite interview, which was from Victor Miller, the creator of and writer of Friday the 13th and the character of Jason Voorhees. I'm going to talk about him a little bit, give some people some plugs, and the show tonight, finally getting to it, right? After I've been running my mouth for 15 minutes, the show tonight, we're going to talk about there's a new thing, a new sex thing called a masculinello. Now we'll talk about that. If y'all don't know what that is, y'all ready for a surprise? Because baby, when I read it, I'm like, come again. I had to read it four times to make sure that somebody wasn't punking me. And then we're also going to talk we're also going to talk about how sex is different in your 20s, 30s, and 40s. I read a really good article on instinctmagazine.com. And lastly, the meat and potatoes of tonight's podcast. It tastes like hate. And against my will, Chick-fil-A served up some shade today that y'all will not believe. So when we come back from break, we're going to talk about all that and more. Thank you guys for joining me, David, here on the 5x5 Late Night Show. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Tell you she's a bitch. I would not trust her if I could. No, 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 she's just no good. I see crazy every day inside this New York cabaret, but nothing.
That show, that's Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. I love that song. That's the song, the theme song from the show from Katie Hampton. But Chloe was my muse for two seasons. Chloe was my muse. They should have kept that show on. She's on something else now, not as funny. Anyhow, welcome back. It is the 5x5 Late Night Show. My name is David, and of course, everybody knows me by now, hopefully. Hey, sweet smiles, welcome to the chat room. Brand new here, I haven't seen you before. Thank you for joining us today. Sweet smiles, meet Ken Boggle. Ken Boggle, meet sweet smiles. We're always here on the chat room when we're doing our live podcast. You can join us anytime. when we're on live, it's up on Wednesday night. So this on Tuesdays, on Thursdays on Pride 48, you can join us over there, and also on Sunday nights for Fanboy Weekly. But thank you guys for joining us. We're really getting close to that 1,000 follower mark. So thank you. So if you haven't followed the show here on Spreaker, please do so. You know, you can catch past shows on our Blogspot blog, the 5x5.blogspot.com. I finally updated it, y'all. Finally, after all this time, I finally updated the blog. And also, and the 5 is numeric. You can send me a tweet at the 5x5, and the 5 is numeric there as well. Follow me on Instagram, One Funny Guy, the number one, FUNNYGUY. And as always, you can check us out on Facebook.com/the5x5. Completely. I was eating. completely spelled out. See, because of my Chick-fil-A debacle today, I had to go grab me something to eat because my head was hurting, and so I had to eat something. And so, while the song was playing, so I'm trying to wash it down, the food, because I'm eating fast, because that song wasn't very long. And now my mouth is really watering, maybe because I haven't had anything to eat today. I don't know. I do apologize to the people. That was funny. Can't they be calling me out? I love it. It's funny. Just Put on Blast by Ken Boggle, baby. That's okay. I hope I don't burp. but yeah, so you can check us out all over there. And if you happen to catch the show on iTunes or Stitcher, please follow us and give us a rating and subscription over there as well. We would really appreciate it. Coming up tomorrow, if Ken is wet better, Ken and Timmy and I will be recording Real Talk. And I think we're going to tackle, I'm still doing the food thing, I'm sorry. We're still going to tackle the Ebola thing, I think. I think that's tomorrow's topic, Ken Boggle. So you guys stay tuned for that. And then Thursday nights on Pride 48, you'll catch our catch-up show. For anything that you missed on any of these shows, you can catch us over there live and join the chat room. It's a very colorful bunch over there. And normally I have some digital download giveaways as well, so that's always fun. Real quick, have you guys heard about the drama about these toys? This is a little fanboy moment, but about the Breaking Bad toys. Now, I was on the side of the company making the toys until the main character, I don't even watch the show, the main character, the toy, has a little bag of fake meth inside the toy. And these toys, they really, like, the parents are saying, well, these kids, we should be selling fake meth in a toy and kind of glory, and which glamorizes. I understand that, but these toys are made for adults. But it's just the fact that they actually put that in the toy. It's a blue bag of meth. A little fake, it's fake, but it simulates meth, and what, because, you know, he was a meth dealer. And I'm like, that is the most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my life. So that was just on the news as well. So the other day I was trying to come up with some ideas for the show, and I'm like, well, let me look on some websites to see what can I talk about on the show, some information I can give you guys. And so I come across this article, which, like I said, I had to read it twice before I really understood what it was talking about. So it's about this guy who he considers himself a submissive bear, which is fine. And he had his genitals removed. Now wait for it. So he can have better sex. Did y'all just hit the ground? Did y'all just hit the ground? Do we need to holler at Tamar?
Get your life.
Because this person, he lives in South Florida, and he was embarrassed by the size of his equipment. And I'm going to try to be as tactful as I can, but, you know, this is a late night show, and sometimes we get a little blue. He said he was embarrassed by the size of his penis, so he did something to fit his personality. They call him gelding, and he describes himself as a submissive bear, and he says he has great sex, but he doesn't have the equipment. And I guess when you're submissive and you're a gay man, that normally means you're a bottom, I guess. He says it all began in high school, when a bully on the football team teased him for having a baby face. And he said, the guy said, "You have a man's equipment and you're still a boy." And then he touched him inappropriately and laughed. So here's the thing. They said the whole article, the gist of it was his testicles obviously were huge, moose knuckle huge, right? And so he went through all these scenarios in his life. In 1991, he tried to castrate himself. He numbed himself and then cut 2/3 of his scrotum with a knife. I mean, are y'all crazy? Are you crazy? And so, but then it didn't work. And so he had to go to the emergency room. And then, so, but see, okay, wait a minute. So 3 years later, the article says he tried to become a eunuch again. He went to an underground, quote unquote, cutter to assist him, but he also again ended up in the ER. And so my thing is, after the first couple times, you have a friend or two, they're like, we need to have you put in some work. There's something wrong with you. Anyhow, and so in 2011, gelding is his name, he had his penis removed, and all that's left is a hole which allows him to pee, but he cannot be penetrated in that hole. He identifies with Nullo, a man with the term Nullo, a man who voluntarily removes his external genitalia. He says he's not transgendered. It's simple nullification of what you got. He said he has a friend in San Francisco that use the terms masculino. Because you're still masculine, hairy chest, whatever, but you just don't have the boy parts. You have a void that's there. And he says p guys get aroused with him in this situation. He says now that some of the DL guys are more likely to be with him because are the guys who's trying to play straight, because he doesn't have the bothersome penis in the way when they're doing their business. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Can y'all believe that? I mean, can y'all really believe that? I mean, who? I didn't know it was a label either. And so when I read it, I'm like, I got to share this with the people because I'm sure nobody knows. I mean, and every man on this planet, that's of a particular age, we've all been hit in the nuts at some point, whether we run in, we fall, or by a ball, or by your baby niece or nephew that with the little hard ass walking shoes. It's happened. That shit hurts. So I'm not going to the doctor and like, okay, here, doc, I don't like my balls. I'm gonna need you to get your scalpel and just take my dick, take my ball, take everything. Who does that? That means you have, my thing is, to each his own. If you're happy that way, but I just don't. That would be weird if, I'm sure he tells people before, they're intimate what his situation is, because, say you're one of these really good people that you save yourself until when you get into a new relationship, you just don't hop in the sack and you save yourself. And say for instance, he thought he told the person. He thought he told the person. And they're finally committed, whether you're married or whatever, and then you roll up in the bed and you get, how you do that little heavy petting stuff, and you petting, 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 petting. And you're like, okay, is this, what's that? This Butch Angel. Am I about to be with Butch Angel? You know, you know who Butch Angel is? She's that female who looks like a bald-headed man, but she still has the female part. She has the female parts, but she is a woman, but she looks like a man. But if you call her a woman, you might get your ass kicked. But yeah, so you up in the bed and you pet and you look down at that. You know, that's crazy. That's crazy to me. I'm not trying to talk about no one, you know, no one, but that's just weird. I don't get it. You know, maybe it's just me. Maybe because I just got right myself, but I don't get it. And, you know, but whatever floats your boat, boo, but, you know, you can't cut my stuff off and think it's going to be okay because that ain't hot. Anyhow, I just had to share that with you because I thought it was really interesting that somebody, remember, I don't know how old you all are. I know how old Ken is and you know, how old my friends are and Sweet Smiles. I don't know how old you are, but there's a movie, a Mel Brooks movie. You know, everybody loves Mel Brooks. It's called History of the World. And remember Madeline Kahn? She was like the queen in the Egypt part. History of the World is hilarious. If you haven't seen History of the World Part 1, you need to look it up. It's not on Netflix. I would have seen it again. But find it because it's absolutely hilarious. Anyhow, so Madeline Kahn has a whole, she has eunuchs in her, what's it called? In her little harem, her harem. And remember she did a little song. No, 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 yes. No, no, yes. No, 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 no. I had to find that song because it's absolutely hilarious. But so they had eunuchs. That's the first thing I've ever known about a eunuch. And I remember as a kid, I asked my dad, I'm like, well, what's a eunuch? And I think my dad's like, it's a guy who don't have any balls. And then, you know, when you're telling that 8-9-year-old kid that, you know, okay, whatever, you know, eunuch, you run around talking about eunuchs all day. Oh, Sweetie Smiles 33. So you might know what that movie is, History of the World Part 1. You might. Anyhow, moving on. You know, this past weekend I went to. And Ken Boggle, you'll be proud of me. I went to kind of a scare fest. It wasn't as big. Hey, Timmy Sims. Timmy Sims finally made it into the room. It took you long enough. I done went through everything before you even got here, boo. Meet Sweetie Smiles. She's new to the show. And Ken Boggle's back. You know, this past weekend, I went to a horror convention. Well, comic book. Horror convention called SocktoberCon, and out of everyone that I spoke to, and Ken, you might know who these people are, and you had to look back. The cast of Sussex County series, which is a television series that's going to YouTube, obviously. And the guy, he contacted me today. He's gonna be back on the show. It's a Jason Voorhees story told differently, and they're bringing that to you. They're from Louisville, Kentucky, but they was at Scarefest, Ken, the Sussex County cast. They were in anyhow, but I spoke to the creator of Jason Voorhees, and I know some of you guys may have heard it, but some of the late night crowd who doesn't listen to the other shows, they haven't heard it. So this is the only interview that I'm going to let you guys hear tonight, and it's from Victor Miller, who created Jason Voorhees and started the whole Friday the 13th phenomena. And one thing I didn't know, that Halloween came before Jason, which I know is all kind of close together. And also, Victor also won 3 Emmys writing daytime soap operas. And so he's in this particular interview, he's talking a little bit about writing for Susan Lucci, and also how he got started in writing for Jason Voorhees. So we're going to take a break, and while we go to break, you guys can listen to my Victor Miller interview from this past weekend's ShocktoberCon. My name is David. It is the Fanboy. I said Fanboy. It is the 5x5 Late Night Show. We'll be right back.
Here you go. We're standing here with Victor Miller, the original scriptwriter for Friday the 13th. How do you become the first?
You become the first by being almost starving, by having a wife and two kids and a mortgage, and saying, well, I better write something soon that actually sells. And so I had been doing some movies with Sean Cunningham before, and he called me one day and said, Halloween's making a lot of money, let's rip it off. So I went to see Halloween, figured out how to write horror movies, and the rest is cinematic history.
It really is. You know, it's one of the most iconic characters from the horror genre. And, you know, where did Jason Voorhees come from? Like, because I know I read that, you know, the original villain was the mother.
The original villain is the mother, and yeah. And rightly so. And the reason she's the mother is that I had a personal interest in that, because my own mother was a person who, had I drowned, would have said, it's your own damn fault. Whereas Mrs. Voorhees was the mother who said, if anybody's mean to my son or bad to him, I will kill him. And that's the kind of mom I always fantasized about as a kid.
So it's about revenge. Oh, it's about revenge and love. Mother and son's love.
Yes, mother's love taken to the absolute extreme that you do not want to actually go.
I think my mom would be that way.
There you see. That's the one I wanted. That, you don't talk to my son that way.
Exactly. You know, exactly.
My mother would say, what'd you do to get him to say that to you? Anyway. But I made a great future out of for myself out of dealing with that. So it was great.
Yeah. So when it changed from being the mother, being the original villain, right, to switching over, I read that as well, to him being the boogeyman, so
right,
to speak.
Yeah.
You know, I know you kind of stepped away from the project.
Well, the project stepped away from me. Basically, they went on about their thing because on the basis of the first Friday the 13th, I became too expensive as a writer. And the key to doing sequels is each one has to cost less than the one before.
Oh, wow.
They
okay.
tend to make less that way. So I went on about my business and never looked back.
But you still get credit for, you know, you created the dude.
Yeah. And I get a check when they make a new movie.
Well, there you go. Nice. And they've made a ton.
We go out to dine on that. Not bad.
So does Jason Voorhees still have a place in current day horror films? You know, we went to like the Supernatural and the Lost Footage.
Right, yeah.
Does he still, the slasher guy, does he still have a place?
Oh yeah, I think the slasher guy is always going to have a place. What I really miss, if I'm watching a horror movie, or actually I read people's screenplays online and for them, and I do that as a favor because I don't ask for any money for it, but I want to know why the villain does what he does. Because if he's just a killing machine, which I fear Jason has become.
Just a killing machine, yeah.
If he's just a killing machine, you might as well just buy yourself a chainsaw and go out and do it yourself. But I like some real emotional reason that the audience can identify with. So in some peculiar and perverted way, they almost sympathize with your villain.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the key to the whole thing. I mean, when Betsy Palmer stands there saying, my son, he wasn't a very good swimmer, your heart just goes out to her because she lost a son.
Exactly.
Because these camp counselors were fucking each other in the woods.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of watching out for her son who was not a good swimmer.
Yeah.
So, you know, that to me is the key. You know, and that's what I thought was beautiful about Frankenstein. The Frankenstein monster was a very sad guy in the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
He was, and
no identity.
But he was a sad guy, and he only struck out when he was terrified by ordinary humans' behavior with the fire and stuff.
Yeah, because ordinary humans, we're scared of what we don't understand.
Exactly.
And we lash out.
And so that made Frankenstein a wonderful
Yeah, because when you flip it on its ear, it's like, who's the real villain?
Yeah.
Who's the real monster?
You got
humanity.
It. Exactly.
Pretty much.
Exactly.
One last question.
Sure.
So I know you won Emmys for your work on daytime. You're writing daytime soap operas. Who's harder to write for? Susan Lucci for All My Children, or writing something like Friday the 13th?
Writing for Susan Lucci. Much harder. Much harder because there were certain, I mean, she was a wonderful character, a wonderful actress in that character, and she protected her brand.
Oh.
That's the modern way of saying it.
Exactly.
And so if you wrote a story for her that in any way upset that brand, you know, and would detract from what she had created, she wouldn't do it.
Wow.
So, and she was right.
Yeah. This is what this is her life. This is me.
Yeah. Cadillac doesn't make skateboards.
Exactly. Exactly. So. Thank you so much, Mr.
Thank
Miller,
you.
For being here today, enjoying our city, and
may,
I appreciate
may it. Be just the beginning.
Y'all ain't ready, baby. That was Tinashe with Ain't Ready. She has a new album coming out. I think it's called Aquarius. So look for some new stuff from Tinashe. I found her on Reverb Nation, and she's ready to blow up. So if you guys have heard Tinashe on here, tell her, say, hey, we heard you on the 5x5 radio show. But don't tell her to sue me for playing her stuff. Welcome back. It is the 5x5 late night show. My name is David, and we're just here chatting like I chat every Tuesday night with my friends here in the chat room. We got Ken Bockel, Grandpa Al, Kriska, Timmy Sims, and Sweetie Smiles. Sweet smiles. And I thank each and every one of you guys for joining me, because you guys are my friends and I like talking to y'all. Yeah, Sweet Smiles. And that was Victor Miller. And he's an older gentleman. He's older than my parents, around my parents' age. I think he's older, but when he dropped the F-bomb, I thought that was absolutely hilarious. And he was a great interview. Probably the best person that I encountered other than John Borowski. During the ShockToberCon event. John Borowski will be on a future show. I'm talking to him now, and I met him and bought his movie Serial Killer Culture that he signed for the 5x5, and says the 5x5 slays him. So it was interesting talking to him as well, which I watched the movie and it's kind of disturbing. So when we talked to him, I don't know what I'm going to say, because the content was so you had to really be into this stuff to, you know, kind of want to delve into the reason why these I call them serial killer fanboys, you know, why they want to collect stuff from these serial killers. And it gets really interesting. So you can check John Borowski out, or you can check out his webpage, serialkillerculture.com, and see what all that stuff's about. But welcome back. Thank you guys for joining me here tonight on the late night show. My head is hurting. this is what I get. I laid here and I did get to watch some TV today. So, you know, Sleepy Hollow and Gotham, which it has to be my new favorite show. It's written so well, and then to see the development of these characters becoming their alter egos, the Riddler. Well, the Riddler is not doing too much right now, but the Penguin is absolutely awesome. Jada Pinkett Smith is stealing the show. I mean, this last episode was out of control. She's stealing the show. And just the whole Gotham mythos and Batman's journey to become Batman. So I watched that. And this evening I watched, what's the one show? Oh, The Flash, which tonight I'm going to say it. I yawned because I fell asleep because it wasn't that interesting. I just, yeah, it wasn't that interesting. And and also then Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., they introduced another Marvel character from the 70s, which she's in present day too, but it started in the 70s. Mockingbird debuted tonight, which was Adrienne Palicki, who played Wonder Woman in the pilot for the Wonder Woman television series that didn't go, didn't get the green light. So she's on a Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now playing Mockingbird. And she, thank you, she looked good and she looked like Wonder Woman. I'm like, oh, she's giving it to y'all. She's like, yeah, y'all don't want to do my show. This, watch this. And she was flipping and doing all kind of stuff. So that was good. that was good tonight. So, yeah, Gotham is really good. I'm enjoying Gotham a lot. And I love Jada Pinkett Smith. So I was reading another article within the last couple of days, which made me think, and I think a little bit sometimes. The question was asked, is sex in your 20s different than 30s and 40s? And I'm like, huh. Well, since I'm still at the beginning of my 40s, I'm not qualified to speak on the 40s, but I can probably say I had more sex in my 30s than I did in my 20s. All right, man. I kind of think I did. I think I did. I think I did. But anyhow, this article is it was about a writer from Phoenix named Shane Michael Singh. It says five things to remember about sex in your 20s. And oh, it's on the Chicago Phoenix newspaper. And here's an excerpt that I got from instinctmagazine.com. Number one, you don't always need a reason to have sex. And sex is free. All it costs is a relatively minimum amount of time and commitment. That's true. Sometimes if you own the grinders and the growlers and the scruffs and all those little apps, you'll find out sometimes the sex ain't free. You'll find that out. Number two, that being said, you don't need to actually fuck every time you hook up. Yeah, again, unless you have the grinder or growler, that's kind of the point. But that's true. In my 40s, I think it's about building relationships because if you're single in your 40s, like I am, I think trying to put another notch on your bedpost is different than, okay, I don't want to be alone for the rest of my life. So I definitely agree with that. Number three, morning sex is always better. Maybe it's the overnight festering of pheromones. Maybe it's because waking up next to someone is undeniably romantic, or maybe it's just blue balls. But most of the time, morning sex will be better. The only drawback, of course, is morning breath. Yeah, I have issue with that because I hate funky breath, and it's that's not for me. Number four, sex is never just sex. At certain points in your life, sex will invigorate you. At other times, sex will destroy you, but you don't get to decide. That's deep. But you won't get to choose how sex makes you feel or when or why. You only get to decide whether you let both the good stuff and the bad stuff define you. That's deep. What does that really mean? I had to read that again. It says sex is never just sex. At certain points in your life, sex will invigorate you. I guess maybe in your 20s. And at other times, sex will destroy you, probably still in your 20s, but you don't get to decide. Wow, that's a statement for your ass right there. Interesting. Number five, people aren't held enough. So when a man is in your bed, man or woman, hold them for a few minutes. No kissing, no touching, no exploration. Just hold them and listen to their heartbeat. Oh, ain't that sweet? I'm not a good cuddler. I'm not a good cuddler because I get hot. I'm one of those, oh, you're getting too hot, get away from me. I don't want you in the bed with me. It's too hot in this bed. I'm not one of those guys because I get hot real easy and I don't like people sweat and stuff. I don't like all that, but some people do. So, take the time to cuddle sometimes. Obviously, is very sexual without really having sex. So that was a cute little article that I read earlier this week as well. So let's see. Let's go ahead and take our little break, and then we'll come back and we're going to talk about what happened to me today at Chick-fil-A. I'm telling y'all might say I'm wrong, but y'all ain't going to believe this one. So for y'all who tuned in to hear the Chick-fil-A story, and I hope Chick-fil-A, you are listening. I hope the store out there on Lloyd Expressway at Lloyd Crossing, I hope your team is listening, because I'm ready to go in. We'll be right back.
Sitting here, thinking of you, with a candle lit, fantasizing. I feel your lips, your tender kisses, just ooh, oh.
And kick, and kick, and twirl, and twirl, and kick. Oh, I'm sorry, we're back. Welcome back. It is the 5x5 Late Night Show. You know, that's one of the only dancey songs that I like. Because I've told this story 1,000 times. I don't like dancing. I don't like that dance music. You know, I don't like it. You know, I'm an R&B boy. I told somebody the other night at the Shocktobercon, they had First Jason, who is led by Ari Lyman, who was actually the first Jason Voorhees in the, and he was in the water, pull that girl down to the water. It was his band, and then another band, I forget what their name was, but it's like rock stuff. And somebody's like, are you coming back for the music? I'm like, no. So I start popping it. And I'm like, I'm a Beyonce boy. You know, I like to pop it and twerk it. And they were like, they're just laughing at me. I'm like, what's so funny? You know, I don't know what so funny is, because I like to pop and twerk. You know, I'd rather pop and twerk than I'd rather pop and twerk than kick and twirl. Now, unless Wonder Woman song is on, and then I might, do one of those tiara spins or something. But other than that, I don't like really dance music, and so that Toni Braxton song, it's dancey, but I'm like,
I'm not the diva.
hey,
I'm
so
not the
this is
diva.
me.
I'm not the diva. I'm not the
But
diva.
yeah, it's that's what I like. So I like to, I like to pop it and twerk it, and don't get cute. Let me see what the chat room's saying. Hey, Apocalypse, long time no see. What's a block of cock? What y'all talking about? And I'm not that gay, Timmy Sim. Thank you very much. Anyhow, welcome back to the 5x5 Late Night Show. I said it 1,000 times, but I'm not gonna say it anymore. So today was the day that Chick-fil-A tried it. They tried it, and I could, I was outnumbered, so I couldn't act too much of a fool. So today was the day that my mother has to go to therapy. I had to take her to therapy on on Tuesdays because she broke her arm several weeks ago. And so right next to the orthopedic center is a Chick-fil-A. Now, I have been banning Chick-fil-A for years. I had to put this in there. Kick it to where I've been banning Chick-fil-A for years, or avoiding them because of their stance on gays. It's their stance, but I can't patronize you. And I haven't went to Chick-fil-A since I lived in Atlanta. That's been, God, 4 or 5 years ago since I stopped going. And but my mother, she's a diabetic. And she's an older person. She wanted to go to Chick-fil-A, but just because I feel a certain way doesn't mean that she has to feel a certain way. Do you follow? So, and so Barbara Streisand is on Jimmy Kimmel. And so, we go she Chick-fil-A so I can get her something to eat. And I'm like, okay, I'm here. I'm gonna take all that baggage and leave it outside. And I was getting me something to eat. I'm here. I'm gonna eat. I'm hungry as well, and I'm gonna eat. So we get. She orders her food and whatever. So I ordered my food or whatever, and I'm being really nice. I'm like, I need this and this. And then since we ordered 2 different times, I said. So at first, I asked a young lady who happened to be a little black girl. I said, "Can you got to go? What do you mean you got to go?" So I say, "Can you put both things on? We're eating together." Can you put both things on the tray? And so she looks at me. She's like, no, they have to do it. Okay, whatever. And so when the lady who happened, who I found out was a manager or something, she brings my food. I said, well, just put it on my mom's tray because we're eating together. And then I noticed that my waffle fries weren't large. Now, this is what I said. This is what I said, and they're gonna lie and say I didn't say this, but this is what I said. Well, this, and I said, oh, I said, but I ordered a large waffle fry. So this is where things go from David's being cool, cool, calm, and collected to y'all tripping, And this is a particular every time that, well. The times I've been in this particular, I'm not a size queen. every time I've been this particular Chick-fil-A, I was there with my niece or somebody one time. There's no black people in there, and I was surprised to see a black person working there today. Anyhow, that's beside the point. And so, when I told the lady, I said, "Well, I said I ordered a large," and so she looks at me. Like I'm trying to scam her for a large waffle fry. I mean, lady, if I didn't come to Chick-fil-A, because it's not like Chick-fil-A, you can go order off the 99 cents menu. I don't have a protected order yet. I might get a cease and desist letter. I'm not trying to scam you for five more, six more, seven more waffle fries, lady. I didn't say this. Because it was her attitude toward me when I said I ordered a large, because she stopped and like, oh, you trying to play games with me. And so this is what she said. This is where it started going downhill. She says to me, well, that's not what she charged you for. And so I'm like, you know what? Just put the shit down. I didn't say shit. I just put it down. Leave it alone. I'm not going to argue with you because you think I'm trying to scam you over some damn waffle fries. It could have been what, 80, 70, 80 cents. My goodness, you know? And so I thought this bitch. Careful, Apocalypse. I want to tell her
Get your life.
because I didn't need your damn 8 to 7 waffle fries. So she walks away. And so I think I'm talking under my breath. But I said, under my breath. Whoo, under my breath. So I said, silly ass people. Or I might have said, stupid ass people. I said, one of the two. And so I went to go sit down. My mother needs some sweet and low. So I get back up, and by this time I see this guy, the one that wears the dress shirt and the tie. And so he's walking past me. He said, "Do you need something?" I said, "Nope." And so I sit down. This man follows me. He follows me to my table with my mother, with a restaurant full of people, and he begins to berate me about how she told him that I called her a stupid ass. I'm like, that's not what I said, and I wasn't talking just to her. I was talking about all y'all, and over some damn fries without saying to me, I'm sorry, because it was over then. You came and added insult to injury. He came over, like I said, and without even saying, I'm sorry, you get the wrong thing. How can I make it better? You really didn't have to say that, but I know mistakes happen. This man tried to berate me and tell me I'm a grown ass man, real grown, and my really grown mama is sitting across the table from me. And so this bastard, I know Apocalypse under my breath. And so this bastard continues to berate me. I'm like, look, we don't have to eat. We don't have to stay. This man damn near turns a flip over the counter to get me and my 66-year-old mother a bag. And he was ready to take our food off the tray because I hadn't opened mine yet. But my mom's like, I have to eat. I'm dying. I have to eat, David. I'm like, okay, we can stay. But he was ready to put our food in the bag. So he comes up with the bag, giving me mad attitude and shit. 'Cause I'm not done with them yet. I'm not done with Chick-fil-A yet. And so instead of him walking away, this bastard, he starts to berate me again. I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't want to hear what you have to say, man. I'm done with it. Because again, we were outnumbered, and if something had jumped off, they would have hung our black asses in there today. This is what you have to deal with in 2014 with race relations, because the only reason he was trying to be all puffy, but when all you are is a manager frying up chicken breast. To keep it real, I did that bullshit when I was in high school. If that's all you gonna do and want to come slap a black man down, then knock it out, boo. Because I got you. And he said, then to threaten me, he says, and he said something to the effect, and the owner's back there if you want to talk to him. I'm like, I got you, boo. I know where Chick-fil-A is headed. It's headquartered in Atlanta. I know some people there. So I did came home and I gave them a call, and I told them, and they're like, well, he shouldn't have said that. But my thing is, he shouldn't have said shit to me. It was, that's that whole white, some white people, can't say all white people, some white people think that all black people have that angry black person syndrome. That's just not true. You messed up. And so when I call you out, you get mad because I said ass, and ass is not a bad word, you know, and they're so religious. And so when I get done with that, I want to have all my gay friends here in town. We're going to go out there. We're going to host a sit-in, a kiss-in out there. I want to get my church. We're going to go out there. You know, y'all people, please, I'm not thinking about no Chick-fil-A, but that will be the last time. The last time that I will even drive by the place, because I probably would run through the damn doors with my car. Remember Madea did that on Madea's Big Happy Family? No, they'd be listening to that shit, be trying to say I'm threatening them. But no, it was just really bad, and I shouldn't have to had gone through that. What do you guys think? I need some feedback. Was I wrong? Was I treated poorly? Because I did call on them. The bastard, you know, going to, at one, well, he wanted us to leave. And here's my mother, you know, oxygen, broken arm, and he's grabbing bags after I did say, you know, we can leave, you know, but he was like, okay, y'all can go. Cause he didn't want us disrupting, obviously, the white patrons that were in there enjoying their expensive ass chicken sandwich. Never again. Chick-fil-A can't get none of my money. I hope every gay person, black person, never eats at that store again. And I'm going to have a, put a sign on the side of my car. End scene. We'll be right back. Obviously thought he was the boss of me when he was telling my black ass to get out the store pretty much. But anyhow, welcome back. This is the 5x5 Late Night Show. My name is David, and we're come to the end of our journey tonight. We are going to do what I've been known to do now. Probably says, hey, a job is a job. Let's not knock fast food workers, but they shouldn't be dicks about it either. You should demand a written apology or something. Yeah, you're right. And I'm not knocking what anybody does. I'm just, you know, like my friend earlier, if you have a job, but that still don't change the fact that his ass goes home smelling like grease and french fries every day. You know, some people might like that. You know, he was just being a dick because he thought he could. And, you know, he thought he wanted me to make a big old scene inside there. But, you know, I wanted to, and I was seething when I left. Because we did eventually leave. We did eventually leave because, well, you're not wanted, you don't stay. And you do not break bread with your enemies. You know, I should have threw all that shit back in his face, you know, not like I can't afford it because I can, you know, so it was just the fact that, you know, I was taking care of her and, you know, it's just in front of my mama too. You gonna try to floss on me in front of a 66-year-old woman because you frying up chicken. You know, whatever. Take that shit and put it on somewhere. But no, I contacted Chick-fil-A and I will write them every single day and call them every single day until, like Apocalypse says, like Apocalypse says, demand a written apology. You know. Yeah, and I was a good manager. Anytime I had any problems when it's a different kind of french fry, Ken. That french fry from a fast food restaurant is different from the one at the real restaurant. It ain't like he was working at Chili's or somewhere. You at Chick-fil-A, boo. And no. But that's part of the job. Ken says his partner is a restaurant manager and he gets browbeat by customers. But that comes with the territory. Sometimes you got to suck it up. But I've never seen a manager turn on the customer when all I said was stupid ass people or silly ass people. And I wasn't direct. It was kind of a blanket statement. And then you're going to browbeat me for 5 minutes in front of the whole restaurant. Anyhow, on to better things. And so, this is funny. My sister took this quiz today. It's called What Kind of Heart Do You Have? So, and I think she got like a sweetheart or sweet tart or something. And I'm like, well, maybe I'm a dick. So maybe I have a ugly heart and, I need to see what kind of heart I am. So we're gonna take this quiz real quick and then we'll wrap up for tonight. Let's see. The first question is from the What Kind of Heart Do You Have quiz is, what's the longest romantic relationship you've had? Over 5, 2 to 3, 3 to 5, under 6, 1 to 2, 6 to 12. I had to say 2 to 3. If you had to give a young person advice about love, what would you say? Give as much as you can, get over the pain, love carefully and deliberately. Follow your heart. Love as deeply and as passionately as you can. Throw caution to the wind. I will say love carefully and deliberately. Cause I think you have to, nowadays you have to choose who you fall in love with. And although Follow Your Heart is all romantic and Lifetime movie of the week, sometimes following your heart don't get the bills paid. You know, sometimes following your heart will break your heart in the long run. So love carefully and deliberately. Right now, I am in a serious relationship, single and looking. Love is on the back burner. Have my eye on someone special. Completely obsessed with someone. Have my eye on several people. Single and looking. If someone dumped you, I would still love that person for a while. Get over it quickly. Take time to figure out what happened. Feel like you wouldn't get over it, but then immediately meet someone new. Feel completely depressed and devastated. Would hardly even notice. You'd probably be sick of them already. That's my attitude. I probably wouldn't notice, and I'm like, peace in the Middle East. Number five, and this is a short quiz. Number five and the last one, being in love makes you feel like you have a purpose, like you can do anything, more complete, totally carefree, out of control in a good way, excited to get up in the morning. Those are all very codependent statements. Let's see. I won't say more complete. That I would never answer any of those questions that way. And so let's see. Oh, says I have an open heart. I believe that love is a great opportunity, and you think love can come from the strangest places. You're open to whatever love may come your way. You believe that love happens for a reason. I definitely do believe that. So I guess I'm not that big of a dick anyhow. But with that being said, I think we're going to call it a night. Thank you guys for joining me here on the 5x5 Late Night Show. Look for Ken, Timmy, and myself. Episode tomorrow night. I'm recording a different way, Ken. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I'll get with you in a little bit for Real Talk. And then Thursday night, if you have some time, at 10 p.m. Central, I want to say, no, let me look, because I always mess up. Timmy says, what is my schedule on Thursday nights? Let's see. Thursday. Oh, yeah. 11, so, yeah, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern time. I'm over there on pride48.com. I normally do a little mix-up show over there. Think Apocalypse, Eastern. Yeah. No, 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. Timmy, I just looked. So look, yeah, it's fun over there. It's a really, really fun chat room over there, and everybody's chit-chatting away. Yeah, and yeah, Tim says I do too much, and I'm trying to streamline. Hopefully, I don't know how this is going to work, but I'm going to work on this. I said 10 p.m. Central, 11 p.m. Eastern. That's what I said. And I'm going to try to start morphing some of these shows together so you're not looking all over the place within one central area. The reason why I have different themes to different shows is because everybody don't like the same thing. And, sometimes I'm just so, when it comes to like comic books and fanboy stuff, I'm just so focused on that I don't talk about anything else. And then Real Talk is like my collaborative show with the guys, and then this is me by myself just telling it like it is. But I guess I can do that anytime, because I did give you a topic. I think we're going to tackle the whole Ebola thing, but sometimes our topics kind of branch off into other things, so we're going to tackle Ebola tomorrow night, so that should be interesting, and the whole Ebola hysteria that is going on, and if you guys have anything you want to bring to the topic table, you guys can always share that on the show tomorrow, and then back again on Sunday night for Fanboy Weekly. Don't forget, this coming Saturday, October the 25th, is Halloween Comic Fest. So if you guys want your free comic books, you want to go check out some of the things that I love to do, go to HalloweenComicFest.com, put in your zip code, and see what the closest comic book store is to you, and then you can go pick up some comic books. And if you don't want them, just go pick up some for me and then send them to me. I'm okay with that. And that's going on Saturday. And then 2 weeks from that, that's Halloween. No, then there's Halloween. Then in 3 weeks from that, here locally, November 15th and the 16th, Geek Galaxy Con is coming to the area. So if you're in the Tri-State area, Southern Indiana, and you want something fun to do, you want to nerd out a little bit, they're going to be a plethora up of the original. We can talk about Halloween. We can talk more than one thing, Timmy Sims. The original Power Rangers will be in town. So hopefully I'll get to chat with some of those guys. But that's coming up here on for me. And then we're into holidays. We're into holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, the New Year's, and the weather is definitely changed. It's so funny right now, the weather here is really, really like gorgeous, 75, 80 during the day, but at nighttime it's like frost. But it still didn't kill them damn mosquitoes. I got bit today by a mosquito. So So look forward to that stuff. As always, thank you guys, Apocalypse, Timmy Sims, Ken Boggle, Grandpa Al, Sweet Smiles, all you guys who join me in the chat room. I appreciate each and every one of you guys. You guys have a great rest of your week. Tomorrow's Hump Day and New Comic Book Day. My name is David. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. We'll see you next time. Good night.